Christian life, your Christian walk, in the order of the things in your life. All of us have to eat, right? All of us like a little bit of money. All of us like having companionship, friendship, a spouse, children. Not all of us necessarily like all those things. But all of them have to be prioritized into a specific order. And where does Christianity and your love for God Himself fall on that order list? If you had to prioritize everything. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul and Luke and God wanted to get out of that verse. Confirming them. Encouraging them. Make sure you live your life aright. The Christianity is just not an add-on with a hook that you kind of add on the side of your life. It's literally, you might say, has roots and veins and branches into every part of your life. How do you act on your job? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your spouse? How do you raise your kids? How do you determine how to spend your money? You confirm. You make sure it's in the right priority. There's also another word he used, exhorting. And this one is very important. Parakleo. It's from two words. Remember, I've taught you that Greek, many times, it's a very simplistic language. Because you can mix and match these first parts to match them to that latter part. So let's look at what kaleo means, properly allowed, but used in a variety of applications. To call someone. I will, Pete! I kaleoed Pete. Right? I pick on you all the time because I know you don't mind. Or you'll tell me if you mind. Okay? So, Pete! That's kaleo, to call. But more than that, this word means Pete. Close. The close call. Only by someone who cares and matters. How many of you have heard the word paraclete before? Okay. Well, who's the paraclete? Who's the paraclete? The comforter. The Holy Spirit. The close spirit. Like whispering in your ear. Exhort. Pete. Make sure your life's right. Pete. I'm not picking on you because I think, anyway, I'm going to start picking on somebody else. But you smile and laugh. Not everybody smiles and laughs when you come up and says, you know. Richard, can I pick on you now? No. And he did something else. Him and Barnabas did something else. How many minutes do I have left? How much time do I have left, Kate? No, but I want to know. Oh, my, I got lots of time. Huh, okay. Confirming and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Tribulation here in the first year, I like, if I can, in the scriptures, the law of first mention, like in the Christian life, the law of first mention. Also, when you're interpreting scripture, the first mention in the scripture, all the way in the Old Testament, and all the mentions of it to the end of the scripture, you have to take those into context to come up with what those mean. Cults they pick a word and they run off in the woods with it, thinking they know what it means, when in fact, they may not. You have to understand the difference between interpreting something in Greek and the corollary in Hebrew. There is a third language, by the way, Aramaic. Some in the Old Testament is actually in the Aramaic language, and some Aramaic words are brought over into the New Testament, and they're actually transliterated for us, okay? But tribulation. I'd like you to turn back to the very last book the Apostle Paul wrote prior to the Lord taking him home. And he was talking to Timothy, and he wanted Timothy to remember chapter 3, verse 10. Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my love, patience, persecutions, and afflictions, which came unto me, where? Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. When he was talking to Timothy, he was having Timothy echo back to maybe when the first time that Timothy ever saw the Apostle Paul, and he could see the scars on him and the wounds on him from the stoning from Lystra. Now, many Bible scholars believe that Timothy came from Lystra. There are others that say he came from Derbe. In either case, it really doesn't matter. But the fact is that the Apostle Paul told these people that they needed to be able to and expect tribulation. Timothy is carrying the torch as God's appointment forward with mission work, and the Apostle Paul would lay down his commission. But he was encouraging Timothy all the way back to years before when they first met. Tribulation, tribulation. So they start back. They've been to Lystra and Iconium. It just so happens, distance-wise, heading back from Derbe is about 30 miles from Derbe to Lystra, and from Lystra to Iconium is about another 30 miles. From here to here is about 85 miles. And from Antioch, from Perga down here up to Pisidian Antioch is about 175 miles. How many of you have made a 175-mile hike? Look at me. I am not going to make a 175-mile hike. Somewhere around 50, you're going to find this worn-out old fat guy not hardly breathing anymore after several days. But the point is, these guys traveled this to do what? To share the gospel. They walked. They suffered. They loved. They saw the victory of belief in new converts' eyes that can only be felt by the person that God chooses to share the gospel with someone. I bet you in this room, and I know he's one standing in front of you, I've felt the unction of God to share my faith with someone, and I was too busy. I chose not. But they did, and they traveled down here to Perga, but they also traveled in two other places. Remember, Antioch is called Pisidia Antioch because it's descript. They came from Antioch on the Orontes, which is the river that it's on. But let's read in our text, back our base text, Acts chapter 14. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Well, they put elders, that's an interesting word. I didn't use that word. I didn't cover that word up here. Presbyters. You ever wonder how people got the name Presbyterian Church? Presbyters. That was a word that was used in the Greek to be talked about those on the Sanhedrin, the leadership. And when they picked the leadership, what did they then do with them? they did two things. They fasted and prayed. Some of you have heard of the term ordination, an ordination council. When Maria and I were in California, we actually got to saw someone being ordained. The men usually come up, put their hand on him, and they pray for their ministry. He became a pastor. Okay, but that's kind of an interesting word. They didn't call them pastors in that text, but that's akin to words that we have as pastor, elder, teacher sometimes. And they get to Attalia. Oh, they went to Pisidia and Pamphylia. Pisidia is a very large place. Remember, these places are like we talk about, I told you about the Lower Columbia. It's an area description. That's what these, they used to be countries a long time ago, but people just used them as descriptors of areas. And after they had passed through Pisidia and Pamphylia, then they came and preached the word in Perga. They went down to Attalia. Well, they traveled here, traveled down here in Pamphylia, then they came back to this notch, and that's where Attalia is located at. This is Antioch. They had to go over these mountains. Even in the spring, there's still snow on top of those mountains. Pamphylia. And this is Perga. I missed an opportunity to come to Perga. I wish I had when I was in the service. Right. Then they get to Attalia. And what are they going to do there? Attalia. They're heading home. What do they have to do now? There's no ticket booth where you're going, I'd like a ticket to Antioch on the Orontes, please. You literally had to go down the list in the bay. This is what's left of the actual Roman bay there in Attalia. And you walk, where are you going? Oh, you're going to Athens. So you're heading all the way to Rome. Good on you. And you would literally try to find somebody. And you'd talk to the captain and says, can I buy passage? And of course, he would say yes. And then you got to sleep on the deck. Unless they were carrying grain in bags and things, and then you can go downstairs and kind of have a nice bed. But actually, grain, most of the time in this period, was actually transported in amphora because the moisture wouldn't get to it, so it wouldn't spoil. And then you would get home. Now, you've been gone for almost 2 years, perhaps. How many of you have ever been gone for 2 years from home and then finally came home? Caleb asked me last night, how long is the longest you've ever been away from home? And 6 months, pretty much. That's the longest. And it's a weird experience. Life has gone on at home while you have been gone. And supposedly, in the Navy, the separation and how to manage separation is one of the hardest things. Friends you had before, people you thought were faithful, now no longer aren't. But there's something very, very important these men need to do. The Bible tells us that. Very important. They went down to Attalia and thence, verse 26, sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now, how many of you believe a missionary is unfaithful if they don't send a monthly missionary letter? Amen. But I've heard others converse, these people aren't very faithful. They don't tell us nothing. How much did Paul and Barnabas tell Antioch what they were doing for 2 years? Nothing. It's important that God leads you when you choose. Raise your hand whether you want these people to be our missionaries or not. If you have any doubt, don't. If God's got some doubt in your heart, don't. But you should actually make the choice. If God has chosen them, let them do the work. But they came back and told a story like you couldn't imagine. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. A long time. Number of years. But can you imagine? The words there tend to indicate this was an after-action report. Any of you ever been in the military? Or read about, like watched a movie where they have an after-action report? Okay, tell us all that went well. Usually the after-action report when things don't go well are more important. Because we made a mistake somewhere. Our plan was weak somewhere. Imagine hearing the Apostle Paul. Well, you know, we were in this town, and they didn't understand who we were. Well, yeah, they really didn't understand. And then we didn't understand them, and then they killed me. The sad truth of it is, if you're willing to read, that very same story happens every week in the world today. In the Muslim world, in the Hindu world, in the communist world. But these people still go. And what did the Apostle Paul do not 3-4 years hence? He went back. The pain was well worth it. I'll have to confess, I'm not there. I like going home to my wife, my nice comfy bed. As I slept last night, it was hard for me to go to sleep thinking about this message. Laying in my comfy bed, I hate my pillow. I got to get rid of that dude. But I'm complaining about having a pillow. I mean, seriously, I was just kind of, okay, Rick, how cheap a person are you? But the reality of it is, our God did so much for us. What are we willing to do for him? What are we willing to do for him? I know this is a little shorter today. I was too busy trying to get myself out of the way. Anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. I'll let you out a little early. I hope Davey's out there and remembers that this one time I let you out like 5-6 minutes early, that I'll be able to take that time later. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be here. Lord, those churches were in your hand. They kind of ran into some issues with some false teachers.